Pastor Fola and Pastor Wura are not around today. They are away on a short break, holiday. And we pray for them where they are, that God will be with them in the name of Jesus. As they go on to rest, that they will rest indeed in Jesus' name. We need to pray specifically that Pastor would rest in Jesus' name. I'm not just here. Uncle Eze is here. Is the one that is in charge of all of us. But I've been asked to just take service today. But I've got someone ahead of me who I'm accountable onto when Pastor is not around. So throughout the month of May, we'll be talking about building a spiritual temple. And we've talked about it. Last week, we talked about the Holy Spirit. And we've been looking into different aspects of building a spiritual temple. I would imagine that everybody has listened to the message for May from last year. So we understand where we got that message from. And one interesting verse for me from all the messages that I've been taking throughout this month is in Ephesians 2:20. I'll just want to quickly summarize. We've been looking at 1 Peter 2. The anchor verse is 1 Peter 2:5. And Ephesians 2:20 said, "Together we are his house, built on the foundations, on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself." And 1 Peter 2:5, we'll come back to Ephesians 2:20. 1 Peter 2:5. "And ye are living stones that God is building into a spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God." One thing that caught my eye, it was just this morning when I was looking at Ephesians 2:20. One thing I could see in my mind was the fact that Ephesians 2:20 was talking about Jesus being the cornerstones and us being living stones, being built on the apostles and the prophets that have gone ahead. And that means God is building one spiritual house, Jesus being the foundation of it and the cornerstone of it. And then the great prophets that have gone on, they've made the bottom bits. And I ask myself that, am I going to be a worthwhile stone that can be built on the works of the prophets and the apostles? Because that's what it means, that when I go, will they go to that part of that spiritual house and they will find a brick? A stone. And they will say, "This stone is Damola, and the future generations will build on it." Are we looking at being that kind of stone that can be built on, or are we being just like Pastor Olumide said in the message? He said stones that just appear at the work site and then they want to decide where they want to be really in the house. So God is building a spiritual house, and some of us are stones. We just show up at the work site and we're like, we don't want to be chiseled, we don't want to be touched at all, but we want to be by the windowsill. And God is saying, "No, I'm trying to lay this kind of foundation." So it's just something to look at. Today, I'm not going to be talking about the stones. I'm going to be going back to Jeremiah 18, and I'm going to be talking about the potter and the clay, which is similar to the stones, us being living stone. Because in Jeremiah 18, verse 1 to 12, I'll quickly read, but I would like you to just read with me. I've got NLT. Thank you. "The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, 'Go to the potter's house.'" Sorry, I'll just move slightly so you can read. Can you all? I'll just go. "The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, 'Go down to the potter's house, and I will speak to you there.' So I did as he told me.
and found the potter working at his wheel. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped. So he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. Then the Lord gave this message, O Israel, can I not do to you as this potter has done to his clay? As the clay is in the hand of the potter, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. If I announce that a certain nation or kingdom is to be uprooted and torn down and destroyed, but when that nation renounces its evil ways, I will not destroy it as I planned. And if I announce that I will plant and build up a certain nation or kingdom, but then that nation turns to evil and refuses to obey me, I will not bless it as I said I would. Therefore, Jeremiah, go and warn all Judah and Jerusalem. Say to them, this is what the Lord says. I am planning disaster for you instead of good. So turn from your evil ways, each of you, and do what is right. But the people replied, don't waste your breath. We will continue to live as we want to, stubbornly following our own desires. Praise the Lord. I will stop at 12. One key thing to see is that the people replied, don't waste your breath. We will continue to live the way we want to, stubbornly following our desires. I mean, God sent a message talking about the fact that we are clay in the hands of God. And Jeremiah took the message to the people. And in verse 12, they said, we'll continue the way we are. And one of the things that came to my mind when I was studying for this is like myself and virtually every one of us, where we define ourselves as this is who I am. So it'd be like, God is trying to form us into something. But you're like, yeah, this is who I am. I just talk a lot. I mean, this is who I am. I get angry once in a while. This is who I am. And if you don't like me as I am, then you can go. And it's us just telling God that God is trying to form us into something. He has the vision at the back of his mind. And we are all saying that this is who I am. This is me. This is my career. This is just who I am, and I can't change it for anybody. This is what the world is currently, where it tells you that you have to be bold in who you are, even though if you are doing something wrong, you just have to be like, this is who I am. Like, anybody that doesn't like me, you can just shut them out of your life. And it's very easy to shut people out of your life now. Just click unfollow, unlike, like, and that's it. I mean, I can't deal with all this rubbish again. This is who I am. And God is saying that I'm trying to form you. But this is from the perspective of the potter, and the potter being God, and us being clay. But if you look at Isaiah 29, I'll say let's start from 13 to 16, please. There's another perspective from the part of the clay. And we're going to be focusing more on Isaiah 29, verse 16 for this short story. It's just going to be a short story. We're going to look at the potter, we're going to look at the clay, and then we're going to come to some conclusions towards the end, and then we're going to pray and then go home. Amen. And so the Lord says, these people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. Because of this, I will once again astound this hypocrites with amazing wonders. The wisdom of the wise will pass away, and the intelligence of the intelligent will disappear. What sorrow awaits those who try to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their evil deeds in the dark. The Lord can't see us, they say. He doesn't know what's going on. How foolish can you be? He is the potter, and is certainly greater than you, the clay. Should the created thing say of the one who made it, he didn't make me? And does the jar ever say, the potter who made me is stupid? So the first thing I did when I was going through this, because we're talking about building a spiritual house, and God used the illustration of the potter and the clay and how he's forming us. And the first thing I went to find out is, what is clay, really? And what was God saying in this place? And the clay is just finely grained natural rock or soil material with possible traces of quartz, metal oxide. Sorry for anybody that didn't do chemistry or that didn't like chemistry. So you have things like SiO2, silicon oxide. You've got aluminum oxide. You've got magnesium oxide. Sorry, I'm taking it too deep. And some organic matter. Now, one good thing about clay is depending on where the clay was formed, the kind of impurities that come in the clay are different. So there are different kinds of clay. So if the clay was formed close to the rocks, the composition of that clay is different from the clay that was probably washed from that side and then deposited on a silt, maybe when you look at in the valley. Yeah, so maybe the rushing river down the slopes of the mountain can grind it over time and deposit the clay far away. So the kind of material that is in the clay depends on where the clay was formed. And that's like you and I. The kind of clay that we are depends on where we grew up, the kind of parents that were born in, that gave birth to us, the kind of environment where we grew up. So there are various impurities that may come in clay. And there are different kinds of clay, the kaolin and all whatnot. And they are used for different things. Now, we understand that the environment impacts us. But one brilliant thing about pottery is the fact that the potter understands the kind of clay he's working on at any point in time. So he understands the characteristics. When you go to buy clay, you can buy different kinds of clay. And he understands the characteristics of the clay, how plastic that clay is, and what it can form that clay into. So he knows ahead of time. And depending on how much of impurities are in it, you determine how much of water you need to add to it, how long it's going to take for it to dry, what kind of temperature you can heat it up to. And the potter understands all of that. Clay exhibits some sort of plasticity, so it can be formed. And you can form it into anything. And any potter can form it. And that's why when God is not the potter that is forming us, and you allow the environment, the devil, I mean, we can be shaped. So that means if you give birth to a child, if you give birth to twins, and you take one, and you raise that one, in a different environment, and then you raise one, and in maybe a drug-filled, violence-filled environment, and you just give them so many years to be able to grow up, they will turn out differently. So depending on who is forming that clay, the end result is often very different. How much of water goes into it? What do we do? How do we fire it? That's in the hand of the master. But one important thing I want to talk to us about today is the wheel. I asked them, Lucky, to just show us a quick video of how the potter's wheel looks like. Because I've been reading it. I just have an understanding that there's a wheel. But just maybe 5 seconds, let's just see how they make a vessel out of clay. And then we'll take the message from there. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will expound what he wants us to learn today. We can just pause it a little bit. It's quite interesting to see a lump of clay going on the wheel. And I'm going to be talking about the potter's wheel for a while. The potter's wheel is a platform on which clay is formed and it spins all around. And while studying for this, the potter's wheel is like the environment where we are found in. God is making us, but everything is moving really fast and spinning really fast. And you're not really sure. I mean, things are coming on and it looks like as if nothing is happening. If you look at the lump of clay and then you look 10 seconds later, you would not recognize the initial lump. The same shape that started on that potter's wheel is not the same shape that you could find 5 seconds later. I mean, things are going on. I mean, the school fees to pay. As soon as you finish paying the school fees, you go on to that struggle for that job. Then you manage after a number of years to be able to get that job. And then you get married, and then there are issues with the marriage. And then you're just thinking, when will all this end? And as you could see, it was a process from where the clay was dumped on that wheel to when it started forming something. And even at the point where we paused, he had not even formed it, so it was still spinning. One key thing that the potter does is it centralizes the clay. It places the clay on the center of the wheel. And then he guides the clay with his hands. Now, it's quite interesting. One thing I wrote down here, he said, imagine you spinning on the potter's wheel and there's no potter's hand shaping you. So imagine if that clay was just spinning and there's no potter's hand shaping it. Just try and imagine it. That, okay, well, the stuff is spinning and then there's no potter's hand. Are you going to form into anything? What would happen is the clay is going to spin off the platform after a while and it's just going to fall somewhere. And that's how some of our lives are, where we try to shut God out. The whole environment is spinning. The whole world is spinning. Everything is going really fast. Things are happening. But you're like, oh, I can't be bothered to have the potter's hand to guide me. I can't be bothered to be formed and to be shaped into something for someone. I can't be bothered to just... And while some of us, we like the potter's hand, oh, we can pray for 15 hours a day. We can... But we don't like the spinning. So imagine if the potter is trying to mold you without the platform that is spinning. The platform brings about consistency. So that when the wheel is spinning and the clay is going on, the potter is rest assured that he has a consistent amount of clay all around the vessel. So that it's not like as if one side of the vessel is thicker than the other. You can imagine that by the time it's done, he continues spinning it for like 10 minutes, and then that vessel is made. He doesn't measure the thickness of that vessel. He doesn't say, okay, which side is thicker, which one is not as thick. It's the wheel that does all of that. The wheel is helping to shape while the hand of the potter is supporting that clay to be able to get it somewhere. So imagine if everything is just rosy and then you're just being made. You won't be consistent. You won't be firm. If something comes around, if they put you in the fire to be able to fire the clay to become ceramic, then that clay is going to break. It's going to crack. It's going to have some impurities in it. And here, God is trying to make us understand what is really going on. Sometimes the stress is so much, you want to give up. Sometimes you are tired about it. And God is saying, it's just a process. It's just you being on the wheel. Sometimes you just imagine, God, I just escaped that other one, and this one is just there. What is happening? It's just God saying that I'm making something out of you. Just a little while. I mean, if we continue with that video for a while, for the whole 5 minutes, you will see the end result of a vessel. Now imagine if that clay at 2 minutes decides, no, this spinning is too much. And no, I can't handle this. And it decides to just jump out of the platform. Because that's what we sometimes do, where maybe you feel the pressure is just too much for us. And you just, step out of the platform. You just say, I'm no longer interested in this wheel that God is trying to. I'm no longer even interested in the vessel. And don't forget that the clay does not know what it's being made into. The potter understands what he's making the clay into. And depending on what you're being made into, the speed may be different. You could hear the guy saying that, I would love to, for the speed to be slower or maybe for the speed to be faster, depending on what he's making. So if he's trying to make a specific vessel, the speed may be really, really fast. And you're like, this is too much for me to handle. But the potter is saying, I understand the kind of clay you are. I understand what you are made of. And I understand where I want to shape you, what I want to shape you into, where I want to take you to. And I want you to have that at the back of your mind. Maybe sometimes when the stress of life, when things around are just too much, maybe you are at work and you can't just handle the 9 to 5, and then the money comes in, and before you know it, everything is gone, and then you go on and there's an issue. God is building character. If you look at Genesis 2, Genesis 2, verse 4. Okay, just continue. So I think 6. Where he formed man, please. Yeah, that's 7. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. When we talk about the potter's clay, we're not talking about the physical, we're not talking about the shell that we are placed in. That God formed at the beginning is just going to grow and just keep growing on its own and all. And we're not talking about the spirit being. That came from God. And when we die, that's going to go back to God, really. But we're talking about that other part of us, that intrinsic part, that part that covers our will, our emotions, our character, which is the soul. And that is what God is forming. That is what God is changing daily, if you allow him to change you. One thing that happens on the potter's wheel is, if the clay decides, because the clay can move on the wheel. So it's the hand of the potter that guides it. We talked about that. So if the clay decides to move at an angle away from the center, it creates an imbalance on the wheel. And then the wheel starts to vibrate. And for anybody that understands physics, normally you've got that motion, right? Once you add that vibration to it, you have another motion going on, which is, you've got the oscillation going on, and then you've got the circular motion going on. And that makes the journey even worse, sort of. Because sometimes when we try to align away from God, the motions, the troubles that come around us are even worse than when you stay in the presence of God. When you're centered in God, when you sit in God's presence, when you allow the hand of God to work on you, it takes you through emotion that you can handle, not something that you cannot handle. His hand is there to be able to guide you, to be able to form you. But if you tilt just a little bit, and it's like this, if a plane is going to miss its way, it just needs to move away by a very slight angle, or a ship. Now, move away by a very, very tiny angle. So if you're meant to go 45 degrees, and then you go 46 degrees. So God wants you to go 45 degrees. You are looking like as if you're going 45 degrees. But you just tilt 1 degree, just a little bit. And then you go 10 nautical miles, or you go a kilometer. And you measure where you are at the end of that kilometer. And you measure where you are meant to be. It's going to be far, far, far away. And that's what happens when, as clay, we move away from where God has placed us. We've looked at the fact that sometimes we say, oh, I've got so much of impurities, oh, I've got this, can God use me? The potter understands the kind of clay. Then we looked at the platform itself and what's going on. And we're saying that even the platform, on that platform where things are spinning,
God wants us to be centered in Him. And how do you become centered in God? It's centered in His Word, where the Word is absolute, where the Word of God is what guides you, where the Word of the Lord is what directs your day-to-day actions, where we are not looking at what the world is saying to be able to decide what we want to do, where we are not of our own will. Because as clay, if you become of your own will and you move away from where you're placed, like we talked about, it's going to result in a lot of trouble. The potter will probably have to break and form it again. And if you look at Jeremiah 18 from the perspective of the potter says, when God said Jeremiah should go to the house of the potter, and Jeremiah saw the potter making something, and it was not well made. And then the potter broke it again and started all over again. You could imagine that a journey of 40 years could become a journey, of 40 days could become a journey of 40 years, just sitting on that wheel, us not getting it right. Where God is saying, this is what I want to make you into. But after a while, we get so tired, we get so worked up, and then we move a little bit, and then the shape does not really go on very well. The wheel is shaking a lot, and then the potter breaks it down again and starts again. And he's saying, I want to make this particular vessel. Is it possible that some of the things that we're going through, we're the ones that are prolonging it because we are moving tangentially away from the will of God? So these are just going to be questions. We're looking through a story of the potter and the wheel. We're just going to look at different things that are going on. There's a drying process for clay after the potter has made it. So let's say finally after a while, when the potter is making the clay, he adds a little bit of water to it to be able to make it more plastic, to be able to form it. And after a while, there's a drying process where things are just quiet and still. You know, you make that vessel on that spinning wheel and you just place it somewhere quiet and still and allow it to dry out. And for some of us, maybe being in Liverpool is that quiet and still place where God is forming us. One of the big problems that tend to happen to people generally, I mean, even in the world, is when they try to break out before when God actually is ready to make them go out. So maybe you know how to sing 5 slow songs, 5 very fast songs, and then you think, I'll just release an album, I'll just go on a tour somewhere. And God is saying, no, I've just formed it. You need to dry out a little bit. You need to stay in a position. You need to understand your purpose. You need to. So God has just made a vessel for, let's say, a cup. But the cup doesn't even understand it's a cup yet. And then he's thinking, oh, I just need to. Oh, I've just been made. I can just jump out now. You've not even dried up. I just want to jump out quickly. What would happen? It's just going to crumble quite fast. Because if clay is still in the process of drying and it just goes out to do what it needs to do and it's just jumping all around, trying to hang out with the ceramics and the porcelain and all of that, it's going to deform quite quickly. And that's a process. So God has finished from the spinning wheel for some people. I mean, we've done a fantastic job. We've been centered in God. We've gone through the motions, the trouble. We've been victorious. We've done brilliantly well. And God is saying, my son, just chill and dry a bit. Slowly, let that drying process just take place. And things are a little bit quiet. You know, when you're used to the fast things where you wake up 6 o'clock, you catch the tube, you're at work by 7:30, then by 5 you're thinking about the tube and you have to rush and push people, and then that's for people in London anyway. And then they now take you to a city like Aberdeen where things are like, you just go, and then by 6 o'clock you now take the car, you are rushing and you get to work and the gate is not opened. And you're, what is going on? Some people are like, oh, I can't live outside of London. I'm built for that kind of very fast environment. But sometimes God wants us to be in a very quiet place. It's not just about the merry-go-round, the running around and the doing of things. God wants us to be in a quiet place where He can speak to us, where He can relate with us. And the drying process is something like that. It's that place where God is trying to put to you your purpose. He has just formed a vessel, and the vessel does not really understand what is going on. And God is saying, just sit still and be dried. I don't know what stage you are, and we can just reflect in different aspects of our lives. We could be at different stages. Is what you're doing currently a resting space for you? Is God saying, just sit at my feet and just bask and learn from me at the moment? And then the final place is, depending on what God wants to make, there are earthen vessels, there are stoneware, so they call them earthenware, stoneware, porcelain, different kinds of ceramics. Depending on what God wants to do, what happens to the clay afterwards, after drying out, is that it goes through fire. And when it goes through fire, if the clay was that kind of clay that showed up and was trying to argue, like in Isaiah 29, when the clay was talking to the potter, and if it was that kind of clay that just showed up and just said, I'm tired of this spinning wheel, it is when it goes into the fire that we'll truly understand what is going on. Because in the fire, some processes happen, and they are chemical processes, and they are permanent processes. In the fire, the clay would react. All those impurities, all those things that you think, oh, I was born somewhere, and that affected me, some things. All those things, when they go into the fire, they all come together to form the characteristics of that particular ceramic that you're trying to make in the fire. And depending on the kind of clay, and this is where the potter is great. I'm not just reporting to, I'm talking about the literal potter. I'm talking about God. The potter understands the kind of clay. And depending on the kind of clay, you know the temperature that you can heat that clay to, so that that clay would come out in the best form possible. So God is not going to heat you up to something that you cannot take, because he understands your makeup. So if you're going through something now, it's for you to be happy about it. Because when you look at that pot that was being made, by the time that pot goes through the process and it comes out as a porcelain that is now being used for honor in maybe the China ceramics, and you can then give glory. I mean, what tends to happen is at that point, we now look back and we now say, oh, thank God. So this was what God was doing. But really, what should be happening is during the process, depending on how hot it is, you should be able to say, thank God, because I know that you are taking me through this because of something specific that you want to use me for. How hot it is. So if you're looking at your neighbor and you're looking at the race for your neighbor and you're saying, my neighbor was made on that wheel for just 2 minutes. It dried out in 5 minutes. But if you look at Jeremiah 64, it said the potter is the one that determines which vessel is to be used in the house and which vessel that they should throw rubbish into. So for the one that was made in 5 minutes, it could be that it's been made. But his own specific purpose, he's not even going to go through fire, but it's just a vessel where that will be used for maybe the rubbish, and not the vessel that will be used for honor. And that's why it's good for us to remain focused, because it is the potter that is guiding what happens to us in life. The potter knows the type of clay. The potter owns the platform. While I was trying to understand the potter and the clay, I understand that some of people sometimes try to create their own platform. So maybe I want to be a pastor, but maybe God is saying through the RCCG that I should just wait a little bit and I should just learn more. I should serve more. I could probably just go on and start my own church, create my own platform and start to do things, thinking I'm doing it for God. I could, maybe you're in uni, you're meant to get a MEng or maybe a medical student, you get to part four, and then you decide to come out and then start practicing medicine. It's
Exactly like that. So imagine if at part four you say, okay, I've done anatomy, I've done physiology, I've done, I'll just use all the logies, the neurology, I've done psychiatry, I've done everything. So I don't need the part five and part six. I'm just going to drop out now and I'll just open my own stuff. I don't know if they're medical doctors. What would you be? I'm sure probably you're going to end up in jail somewhere after a while, really, because something is going to happen. No matter how good you are, it's probably just going to end up in jail at a point because you don't have a license to do it. And some of us, you don't have the license. We create our own platform, saying that we want to step out of the potter's platform instead of using God's platform. The potter controls the speed, and it decides what it wants to make with the clay. And it decides the intended use for what it wants to make. It determines how long the clay should dry and what temperature it needs to fire the clay at. And I said earlier on, I said one of the biggest hindrances to us being formed into what God wants us to be formed into is the attitude that this is who I am. Anytime you say that thing in a sentence, anytime it pops up, maybe you're at work and somebody's trying to say, oh, I think you should do your work, and just say, this is, just remember the potter and the clay. When you say this is, just remember what God is saying concerning the fact that he's trying to transform you. The process between when the lump of the clay becomes a vessel, you cannot distinguish. You cannot say exactly that the clay went through, it was just on a spinning wheel, and then it was spinning, and the hand of the potter was there. And at a point, it was beginning to form into like a bowl. And before you know it, if he pulls it up, it becomes a tall vase. It is not distinguishable. And for some of us, we don't know exactly where we are at the moment. You just feel that the spinning is just too much. You may be just at that point where you are almost formed into what God wants to form you into. And I'm just asking us today for us to persevere a little bit. Are you clay in God's hands? And is God the potter? And are you the clay? Or are you the clay and also the potter? So are you the clay and the one that is also forming yourself? And we talked about the clay, that in this context, that what God was talking about is our soul, because he's very interested in our soul. In Genesis, we understand that we're made from dust, and this body is going to go back to dust after a while. But God is interested in the salvation of our soul. He's interested in your will, your character, your emotions. He's interested in building disciples, even at this moment. He's interested in consistent people who has gone through the spin on the wheel, who have been formed into consistent vessels, vessels of honor. He's not interested in inconsistent people, people that can be tossed to and fro. Today, they are warm. Today, they are hot. And I'm talking about the emotions and the will now. Oh, I just can't be asked. I'm not going to church today. I've studied in the library too much. That's just a literal one. Or I just can't be asked about this Christianity thing. Maybe when I finish school. He's not interested in inconsistent people that can be tossed to and fro. He's not interested in people that cannot be trusted to be able to carry out the work that he wants to do even in this season. And mind you, we said earlier on that it is a honor to be chosen. Don't forget that when the potter picks up a lump of clay, there were other clays out there. So the fact that he's even forming us is a honor. And it's a honor that we just don't want to break. Like, the essence of him forming us is so that we can honor him, we can worship him, And it's a privilege and a honor for us to be chosen by the potter to be formed. And if he has chosen you, and if he's selected you particularly to be formed, as each and every one of us are clay in his hands, no matter how much you fight it, what happens is the potter keeps breaking it down and reforming it. If you make a mistake, it can break it down again and then reform it into something else. But what happens is we might end up staying for so long on that wheel. We might end up staying for just too long on the wheel. The children of Israel, according to what should have happened, they were meant to stay in Egypt for a particular number of years. They overstayed. And then they were meant to do a journey for 40 days. Now imagine that they overstayed in slavery. They've suffered for a while. So you imagine that what should happen is you've learned a lot over the period in slavery. And I can liken the slavery, Egypt, to maybe the wheel that is spinning. And maybe finally something has been shaped. And then it was now time for them to go into the promised land. And then we just realized that maybe there are still some cracks that still needs to be dealt with. And there are still some things. And a journey of 40 days turns out into 40 years. I don't want us to turn our journey of 40 days into 40 years by just trying to fight the potter. I understand that sometimes it's tough. And sometimes we get to situations where we question the potter and we're like, why? But I just want us to reflect. In what areas have we been resisting God? Some of the verses that we read, it said that the people claim to know God and they honor him only by their lips, but their heart is far away from God. Are we far away from God? Are we far away from the potter? Are we the ones spinning ourselves? Are we the clay and the potter? Or is God the potter? Are we living to become consistent in the will of God and in the plan of God? Are we becoming living stones? Or are we showing up at the building sites, trying to tell the builder where we want to be placed in the temple that God is building? In this season, as a church, we're going on to be built as a spiritual temple. And I want all of us in our own closets, because it's not what we do outside here that matters, it's what we do with God in our own closet, to reflect on this over this week and to think about it. What kind of clay am I? Am I on that platform that God has placed me on? Is God the potter? Or am I the potter? Or have I gotten potters? Are my friends the potters? Because for some people, it's their friends that are shaping them. It's not God. Even though they come to church daily, it's the friends that are shaping them. I want us to ask these questions. And in conclusion, I will look at Isaiah 64, 8 to 9. Sorry, before we go to Isaiah 64, 8 to 9, let's go to Isaiah 29, 17, please. Isaiah 29, 17 says, soon, and it will not be very long. That's the verse where we're talking about the potter question, the clay questioning the potter in 16. Soon, and it will not be very long, the forest of Lebanon will become a fertile field, and the fertile field will yield bountiful crops. Please, next verse. In that day, the deaf will hear words, read from a book, and the blind will see through the gloom and darkness. Next verse, please. The humble will be filled with fresh joy from the Lord. The poor will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. What he was saying is that for the clay that is being formed by the potter, that very soon, if only you can hold on to it, if only you can stay in God's will,
very soon, very, very soon, the Lebanon will become a fertile land again. Things that seemed very difficult will become easy. Very soon, you would become that thing that God wants you to be. And you will look back and will say, wow, thank you, Lord, for taking me through this process. Very soon. I'm just trying to encourage anyone who thinks is going through something difficult. Very soon, sooner than you can imagine, God is creating that change. And it's a word that's come up to the house as we're being built in this season. You may think, God, I've saved you. And these things keep coming. And God is saying, very soon. You've been faithful, very soon. Something is going to change. And I want you to have that at the back of your mind. Let's go to Isaiah 64, 8 to 9, so we can pray. And yet, O Lord, you are Father, we are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all formed by your hand. 9, please. Don't be angry with us, Lord. Please don't remember our sins forever. Look at us, we pray, and see that we are your people. Let us stand and pray. I just want us to search deep in our hearts. In what ways have we questioned God? In what ways have we felt that the pressure was too high? In what ways have we sometimes given up? We're a bit depressed. We're like, God, why all this? In what way has fear crept in? Has some impurities affected the clay that God was trying to form? We are saying, Lord, we are clay in your hands and your potter, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Look at us, we pray, and see that we're your people. I just want us to take time to just pray to God. And to just ask whatever we may have made mistakes, for him to just look at us and to forgive us as a people.